And you're very welcome to the STEM Inspirations podcast, a series of interviews brought to you by the BT Young Scientist and Technology Exhibition. Every week we enjoy a conversation with some fascinating people from the world of science and technology. And we have a really powerful interview for you this week. This edition is called Tackle Your Feelings, and Jack O'Connor, a BT Young Scientist and Bootcamp alumni, interviews Dr. Hannah McCormack and Ryan Baird from the Leinster and Ireland rugby teams, and they talk about mental health and why it's good to talk about it. So sit back and relax and listen to the STEM Inspirations podcast.
Hi everyone, I'm Jack O'Connor, a BT Young Scientist and Technology Exhibition alumni and prize winner. As someone who's journeyed myself on mental health and youth mental health in particular, I'm delighted to be able to shine a light today on this, and I'm joined today by Hannah McCormack and Ryan Baird. Hannah McCormack is of Tackle Your Feelings campaign, and Ryan Baird is a Leinster and Ireland rugby player. Thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us, guys.
No problem. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, my pleasure. So I suppose to kick things off, Hannah, would you mind running us through what the Tackle Your Feelings campaign is? And, you know, what motivated you to get this up and running?
Okay, so the Tackle Your Feelings campaign, it's a positive mental wellbeing campaign. And basically, we want to encourage everyone all over the country, whether you are a rugby player, whether you're interested in rugby, whether you're a student, whether you're an adult, every person from every walk of life to be proactive with their mental health and wellbeing. So, you know, the conversation around mental health, Jack, you've had those conversations yourself. It's getting a lot better, but we actually want to give people then the tools to be proactive with their mental health. So not just looking at how can I protect myself from poor mental health, but how can I actually improve my mental well-being to make it better, to make it the best so that I can be the best version of myself, so I can be, you know, live my best life. That's the line that we stole from positive psychology and the positive psychology movement. We see it as just being really beneficial. Like I said, the conversation is opening up, the stigma is around mental health is kind of getting lower, but there's still that kind of lack of what do I do with it? Now I have this information, how do I train my mental health to be better? And an analogy we use, and Ryan's probably heard me say this so many times, is like the athletes such as Ryan. He's an amazing rugby player. He still goes to training. He still practices his skills. So even if your mental health is okay, even if your mental well-being is okay, Tackle Your Feelings is there to help you improve your skills, to help you practice good mental health and good mental well-being so that you can, like I said, be the equivalent of Ryan off the pitch with your mental health and well-being and be the best that you can be. One of the reasons why we got into this, I work for Rugby Players Ireland. We're the representative body of all elite and professional rugby players around the country. And the Tackle Your Feelings campaign started because we recognized that all of our members, the majority of our members, because obviously we have women as well, but the majority of our members fit within that age group, which is the 18 to 35 year old male, who unfortunately, I'm here with both of you who fit into that category. We know that the kind of instances of poor mental health, instances of suicide amongst that age group is probably the highest. And we wanted to do something that was really proactive and really beneficial to that age group because they are our members. And also what we were able to achieve is getting really good role models like Ryan to support the messages of our campaign, to support the messages of being proactive with your mental health. And I want to say sold it to our members, first of all, because we know that when they look after their mental well-being and their mental health off the pitch, it actually has a positive impact on how they perform on the pitch. And the same, how they perform on their pitch can have an impact on their mental health and well-being off the pitch as well. So there's this really nice connection. And then we know that they fit into that category that is kind of a, like that group of people who, I suppose, like I said, aren't necessarily the best at looking after their mental health and well-being. That's not to say the messages that we have aren't for everyone else either, but it was just a really nice, connection that we were able to see. And it has evolved now to, like I said, include so many more ambassadors and be applicable across the board. So that's the background of Tackle Your Feelings and how people like Ryan got involved in it.
Brilliant, fantastic. And as you mentioned, Hannah, the conversation is certainly improving and the stigma is certainly being addressed. But I do fully agree with you and what you said insofar as, trying to work on having that awareness and then kind of what can you do from there. So I suppose with that in mind, obviously the participants of the BTE Young Scientists and Technology Exhibition are dealing with a lot of different things at the moment and, certain pressures and certain stresses, whether that's on their project or whether that's on exams, their studies, or other aspects of their life. So my question is, how can Tackle Your Feelings help them to, work with that pressure and kind of, help them live the best life they have and to manage that stress?
So Tackle Your Feelings is actually we have a special schools-based program that is available to every secondary school in the country of Ireland. But even if your school isn't participating in the Tackle Your Feelings program, which we are encouraging as many schools as possible to get involved, we have an app and we have a website that has a huge amount of resources, which kind of goes through things like how you can manage your stress, how you can different techniques that you can employ so that challenging times and stressful times are kind of part and parcel of growing up. And I'm sure Ryan can corroborate this and explain that, even in his line of work, there are a lot of stressful moments that he has to deal with. And what we want to do is try and encourage people to start building those skills at a younger age so that it's a little bit easier to manage. So there's things like, just recognizing what it is that is stressing you out, practicing that self-care, being kind to yourself, showing yourself that compassion that, a lot of the time when we are stressed out, we think I'm the only one who is finding this really hard. And that's a really normal thing to think. I think things like that all the time still, like it's still a skill that I have to practice. So it's more about realizing that the challenges and the issues that you're facing, the stresses you're facing, they aren't necessarily unique. Now, they can be very unique to you, but there are a lot of people who have either experienced something similar or are experiencing something similar at the moment. And so there are lots of people out there who can give you lots of tips and give you kind of little strategies. And there are lots of different strategies that you can try so that you can help manage your own stress. And that might be talking to someone, having someone that you can confide in. Asking for help with projects, asking for help and like saying, look, I'm a little bit worried about this. Am I doing the right thing here? Just learning how to relax. I know it seems really obvious, but it can be very hard to do. So it could be listening to music, it could be reading a book, it could be drawing, it could be painting, singing, dancing, playing rugby. They are the things that you do. And I'm sure, Ryan, you have loads of different strategies that you employ for managing your stress. I don't know if you want to go through a couple of them and give some people some ideas.
So the first one that is really kind of come to life the last couple of weeks. So I'm studying in Trinity College, and first year or two, I didn't go in too much. I went in for lectures and stuff. I probably hung out more with my friends from school. COVID hit, and obviously that completely took that out of the works. But then recently, last year, even the last couple of weeks, one of my friends is doing a master's, was doing a master's, and I met a couple of friends in America when I was on holidays. And I've gone in now probably in the last 2 weeks, and more than I've gone in the span of 2 years. And the reason I'm going in is purely the social aspect. Going in and just hanging out with my friends, chatting, whatever, going out for lunch, going out for coffees. And then everyone goes back into the library and everyone's there for the same reason, which is to work. So you go, you do your bits of work, everyone's productive, together, and creates a good atmosphere, good environment. And then you take a break and you go for lunch with your mates and you have a laugh. When I'm done this call, I'm heading straight into Trinity just because I can't wait for the enjoyment part. And what that really helps me do in my position is it completely, I forget about rugby completely. I forget about any worries that happened on the pitch, any injuries, any niggles. And in my from my perspective, I just feel like a normal college student for a couple hours every day. And then reality hits when I'm going home, I have to leave at half. Got to prepare for the next morning and go to bed at 9:30. But I love my job, so that is part of the parcel of it. But go, like what I take from that really is finding something completely separate to what you are doing. So it completely challenges another part of your mind. So for me, rugby challenges me so much physically. It challenged me so much mentally in a kind of technical aspect and a kind of emotional intelligence aspect. But then when I go into college, I have to challenge my social mindset, you know, trying to actually, you know, get, cause when you're in a rugby environment, you can be stuck with, you know, lads and just chatting the same thing all the time, which is enjoyable. But in college, it's different. So my advice is find something completely outside your comfort zone. So to me, going into college was outside my comfort zone, but you push yourself out of that and then you find different strengths and you find different likes of what you're into. And it completely opens up your mind and it really kind of adds lovely balance to your life.
Absolutely. And I do think that's crucial as well to have those conversations. And, you know, as you kind of mentioned, have the conversations in other circles, in other spheres, and kind of get that exposure to, you know, the other aspects of life rather than what you'd be, you know, more familiar with in the 9-to-5 or, you know, what you'd be more, I suppose, used to, for want of a better phrase. But Ryan, going into the actual Tackle Your Feelings campaign itself, what motivated you, or, you know, why did you get involved with the Tackle Your Feelings campaign?
I would have when I was in school completely understood, you know, I was one of those kids who, you know, didn't really want to talk to their parents about much. They keep a lot inside, you know, socializing and stuff was quite difficult. So now that I've kind of grown up a little bit, I've matured, I've got some experience through age, I would love to try normalize talking about your problems. But it's like, it's, you know, it's so easy I don't particularly have that much of an issue talking about it now because I'm 23 and I've lived through those experiences. But it's, you know, how can we get people at, you know, teenager age where I was a couple of years ago to speak out? And, you know, I'm thinking about that, and it's always easy to say, oh, just why don't you go talk to somebody? But that's the hardest thing to do. So what I've found has helped me as kind of maybe a stepping stone is if you write, journal it down. You know, there's been instances where I have had so much stuff going through my brain, something didn't go right in training, or a relationship didn't go well in the locker room, and I was a bit pissed off or a bit annoyed, and it was just going over and over in my head. And what I found was, whenever, this was advice I would have got from psychologists and coaches as well, is just write down what's on your mind before you go to bed. And it's nearly impossible for it to actually come back into your mind. You have this blank mind because it's all on paper. Mm-hmm. If you can do that a couple times a week, or you know, when you're feeling really bad, it'll slowly get you into taking the feelings from out of here and onto paper. And then the next step from paper is a close confidant. So it could be your mother, it could be your dad, it could be your best friend, or it could even be a coach who you'll only see in one capacity. So there's no worry about you bumping into him on the street or him seeing one of your friends and saying it to him. Mm-hmm. So there's many steps to get to it, but I found journaling has been very beneficial. And also been, because sometimes we get caught up in small problems or problems that if you brought to a developing country, it's just day-to-day life, you know, like, and what I mean by that is we have to have perspective, and we have to understand, you know, where we are in life. You know, most of us are, majority of us, I'd say, are all, you know, very comfortable in how we're living. You know, we're in a very successful country, which we get looked after incredibly well. You know, our hospital systems, our schools, all that stuff that we take for granted is not taken for granted in other countries. So what I try to do sometimes is just sit back and say, really, okay, I'm grateful for what I have here and here. And that takes my focus away from the negative and actually puts it onto a positive. And then I feel a bit more relaxed.
And actually, I love what Ryan said there, that sometimes, like he said, is that you ruminate on the small things and you get really caught up in the idea of, I don't have this, I can't do that, I'm lacking this, I'm lacking that. And his idea there of being grateful for what you have, that's something I think that is a really easy first step into even that journaling piece. So even if it is a case that you start writing down on a regular basis things that you are grateful for having, and it can be, it gives you, like Ryan said, it gives you that perspective of, you know, I do have a lot going on for me. And sometimes those things can be really small. Sometimes when I practice gratitude, a lot of the time, very frequently on my gratitude list, there will be a cup of coffee on there at least like 2 or 3 times a week. Maybe eating with friends, you know, stuff like that. Because like Ryan said, it gives this really good perspective and it puts you into that positive mindset. So even if there are people listening and they're like, oh, this is a lot to kind of take in, where do I even start? I think that kind of idea of journaling and writing down like 3 good things from your day, or 3 good things that you're, 3 things that you're grateful for. And they can be like your friends, your family, the fact that you got to wear your favorite pair of shoes. I don't know, like, so that's what I mean. It doesn't have to be this huge thing. It doesn't have to be, I've won the BT Young Scientist. Although if anyone does do that, that's definitely something to be grateful for. But it could be something like that is so-called insignificant. But if it's significant to you, then that's going to be what helps you put yourself into that positive mindset for sure.
Like, if I could even add on that, like, it could be the smallest thing. Like, I remember one morning I woke up, I was warm, I looked outside, it was freezing cold, it was pissing rain. Just like, wow, I am so grateful for having a roof over my head. Because there's so many people on the planet who don't. Mm-hmm. Or even like putting on a warm pair of socks. Like, it can be really, if you just like really just, like, what I'm trying to do in my lifetime is just take away all the outside noise. Just focus on really what makes life easy and happy. And sometimes it's just those small things, because not everyone has it.
Yeah, that's absolutely it. And I couldn't be in more agreement with you. It's I know for myself that gratitude and perspective gives so much opportunity to just ground yourself and to really understand the situation that you're in. And as you guys mentioned, there are problems, you know, and if you are experiencing those issues, you know, they do happen. But having, I suppose, taking that time and taking that space to really understand the situation that you're in currently. And as you both said really well, to have that gratitude for sometimes the very small things that we do take for granted and that we do ignore, you know, on the day-to-day basis, whether that's the cup of coffee or the pair of warm socks. I suppose, Ryan, from the start of your involvement with the Tackle Your Feelings campaign, how have you found it to help you, you know, navigate, I suppose, you know, life, you know, a high performance life, both on and off the pitch, you know, combining your commitment to rugby and your commitment to your studies and your personal and social life as well?
Finding the balance is very tough. But what I found has helped me over the last, it's really starting to come into, now I'm really starting to get good at, is planning. You know, for someone, so like, you know, if I'm doing a college degree and a rugby degree and a rugby career, I'm incredibly busy. But what I found planning my day, planning my week, has given me this sense of kind of like, I know what I'm doing next. Boom, boom, and I just have this sense of like comfort and calmness over me because I know what's coming up. You know, I just recently watched King Richard, the film about Serena Williams and Venus's father. And he would always say to his daughters before he goes to bed, have you made your plan for tomorrow? And they'd be like, yes, daddy. And then he'd be like, remember, if you fail to plan, plan to fail. Or if prepare to, you know, fail to prepare, prepare to fail. So that's what I've really learned, to help balance rugby, college, and kind of social life, is having a plan, understanding what I need to get done in that day, because it gives you a purpose and it gives you an objective to go chase. Because what I actually have found is sometimes you wake up and you don't feel the best that day and you've nothing on, so you're just like, oh, I've nothing to do, I'll just go lie on the couch. And that actually just makes it worse, because you're digging your own yourself a hole. But if you can just get up, plan, you know, a couple things for the day, write it down, it gives you a purpose, it gives you something to drive towards. What it also does is actually holds you accountable. So like, if you don't do those things, you're like, well, the only person I'm letting down here is myself. And that can actually give you a bit of a kick up the ass that, okay, I need to get myself together here. So it really has helped me planning. So again, it kind of ties into that journaling piece. You know, a couple of things that I've instilled now into my intro. Well, I'm still trying to get it as a daily habit is, you know, before I go to bed, I journal. And before I go to bed, I plan my day for the next day. Then I wake up the next day and I'm like, right, here we go. Let's attack each day, because some people can get lost in, oh, I've got assignments coming up in 2-3 weeks. I've got something went terribly wrong yesterday. But if you can just focus on the next day, the next moment, the next task, then it really helps. Yeah.
Very good. Ideal. It's and I do think that's something that a lot of people don't fully grasp and really work on yet. But the effectiveness and the importance of having that plan, that you have that additional reasons, or that you kind of have that accountability to get out of bed the next day and to really double down on whatever the priorities are, whatever that is. And even if it's a case of planning 30 minutes to go for a walk, if it isn't completely lashing rain, and kind of incorporating those, you know, those breaks or those, again, those small little wins that you can incorporate into your daily life, that'll really, you know, make that massive difference. Hannah, you kind of mentioned earlier, sorry, Brian, go ahead.
I'm 23 and I've only started to do it, you know, the last 6 or 7 months now, so that when I was 22. So, you know, it's easy coming from my point of view that I've had 4 years experience of it, but, you know, you don't feel it has to be perfect straight away. You know, I've been trying this literally for like 3 or 4 years now.
Yeah.
Always, and you fall off the habit and you don't do it a couple of days and then you find yourself back, oh, you need to do this again. You know, as long as you are trying and as long as you're willing to just keep pushing and pushing and pushing, it'll eventually start to stick. So nothing, the journaling, the gratefulness, you know, the planning, none of it is going to come to you straight away. It's like any new skill. I'm reading the book at the moment. The title has a lot of effort in it, so I'm not gonna. It's basically how much are you? It's more kind of a physical thing, but how much pain are you willing to suffer to succeed? You know, how much kind of like annoyance you of forgetting to do this are you willing to endure to finally come out the other end where you just have this overriding sense of calmness and joy because you know you've put the work in and you know how hard it was, because nothing in life comes easy. Like, you have to work at it. It's going to be hard. That you have to accept that. So, but if you can work through that and not let it defeat you, then slowly but surely you'll get there. Like, I'm 23. You know, life is, you like, I have 60 more years. I've heard so many people say it, you know, when they're 17, 18, they're still learning. Like, we're on a lifelong journey. It's just, you know, how can we learn from something like this? Something from small that we can maybe start to implement. And my brother would listen to a lot of podcasts and he'd be like, podcasts are irrelevant unless you put them into action. So it's the small steps day by day, and then eventually they become a habit.
Mm-hmm. And that's exactly it. And I do think that's a very important point for, I suppose, the viewers of this interview today to understand that you don't have to get it perfect straight away. That, you know, that this thing is a process of trying to learn about yourself and learn about these things, because, you know, especially if you're a secondary school student, your journey is only beginning. It's and I suppose similar to you, Ryan. I mean, I'm 24 and I've been trying to do this, and it's only the past couple of weeks that the plan is starting to get a small bit better, because I have to with my job, with my career, and trying to balance, you know, social and professional life also. But, you know, and that's a journey. And I think the most important thing for students to understand is that it is a process of making the start. It doesn't have to be perfect. It doesn't have to be right. There's no examination at the end of this period when you are trying to do this thing. So it's, you know, it's that case of, you know, continuous improvement, you know, as you kind of mentioned there previously, and developing it over life as a whole. Hannah, I suppose you made a point earlier on that, you know, sometimes if we're going through struggles, if we're going through challenges, we think that, you know, we're the only person in the world that's going through that. And obviously that isn't the case for the most part. So my question for both of you, and Hannah, I may start with you. What would be, you know, some of the most common mental health topics, issues, concerns, you know, amongst young people that you've seen, you know, through your own research, through the campaign? And, you know, what's the interaction like with that?
I think one of the, you kind of, I mean, it's such a big question. It's hard to, I'll try and gather my thoughts so I can answer it a little bit coherently. I think one thing you have to appreciate is that for everyone at the moment, we have been through an incredibly tough couple of years. Ryan mentioned it there that, you know, with COVID, he kind of has only really started going on to Trinity campus this year. And the last previous couple of years, he maybe didn't, one, because he probably wasn't allowed to. So a lot of people who are going to be listening to this, a lot of students now, you've been through a really tough couple of years. And as an adult, as someone who is way older than both of you, which makes me quite sad, but as someone who has seemed to have way more life experience, I struggled over the last couple of years. And I think anyone who thinks that, you know, what we have been through in the last couple of years isn't going to impact them, just be more aware that it was tough when you think about it. And again, I'd say a lot of people who are tuning into this will be very aware of the fight or flight response to stress. And you think about stress, what it's going to do is it's going to increase your cortisol levels. And usually that makes you fight what it is in front of you or run away really, really fast. The thing is that we had a continual level of like kind of this low, maybe low to medium to sometimes very high level of stress that we were dealing with. And it lasted for, I mean, what, when did COVID start? March 2020, and it's now the end of 2022. And it's still not completely gone away. Or even if you think that you had that level of stress for maybe, you know, at least 18 months, some people who are listening to this didn't get to see friends, didn't get to see family, didn't get to do their exams. I know that's not a bad thing, but you know, you missed out on a lot of very integral parts of life and growing up and being a teenager. So that's tough, that's hard. And there is going to be a hangover on that. There's also the idea of like young people kind of think, and I obviously this is from information that I've read and information that I've seen, that they do have to be perfect or you have to be good at something straight away. And I think the point you made, Jack, and the point that Ryan was making as well, is that these are skills and you are young and there's so much time, and there's the one of the best things you can do to actually get better at something is make mistakes. And that can be a really hard thing to grasp. And again, I'm a lot older than you. You should never ask a woman how old they are, but whatever. But let's say I'm in my 30s anyway, okay? So I'm at least a decade older than both of you. I still struggle sometimes when I make a mistake. If I find something hard to do, I'll have this internal conversation of, why am I finding this so hard? My friends are able to do this. So-and-so is able to do this. Why can't I be? And I have to literally stop myself from having that thought process. And that's something that I would have thought when I was a teenager as well. So I think it's about showing yourself that kindness and compassion, that idea that in order to learn, we do have to make mistakes. And probably because of the amount of stress that we've been through in the last couple of years, chances are we're going to make a few more mistakes than we would have in the past. Or, you know, a lot of people listening to this, you're so young, this is the time, this is the period where you are going to learn, you're going to mess things up. And it's okay to mess things up, because that is exactly how we do it. One thing you can do to, I suppose, help with that is, like I said, just lower your it's really good to have high expectations, to aim for the stars, whatever way you want to talk about it. But also don't beat yourself up if you can't get it straight away. Ryan there was saying he's 23, he's learning to do these things now. 10 years ago, 8 years ago, when he was probably the age of the listeners today, I don't think, and this is not in a way to put Ryan down, I don't think he would have been able to give us the same kind of level of information. He would have had to make mistakes to figure this out. So anyone who's thinking, I want to be exactly like Ryan and I want to be able to do X, Y, and Z, and I want to play rugby for Leinster in Ireland and I want to be going to Trinity College, it's great to have those dreams and it's great to aim big, but also don't put too much pressure on yourself to be perfect at absolutely every single thing. Ryan makes mistakes, I make mistakes, Jack, I'm sure you make mistakes. You started a new career, I'm sure there was loads of little mistakes that you made over the last couple of months. Like this, it's very, very normal human experience. And that's something that I think is a really good thing for anyone to try and remember. And like I said, I'm in my 30s and I still have to remind myself of that. So anyone who is listening right now, do remember that you can make a mistake. And one of the best things you can do when you make a mistake is say, oh, I've made a mistake, and go, who can I ask to check in and see what should I have done better, or how could I have done this better? Or is there anything that I can reflect on personally that if I was doing it again, I would like to change for the better, or to enable myself to do something better? I think as well, the idea of socializing, there is a lot of pressure on young people these days to have it all, to be able to have this, you know, amazing social circle, to be getting good grades in school, to be playing a sport, or to, you know, have an outside hobby that they're good at as well. And I think part of the planning, and Jack, you said it earlier, it was such a really lovely little message, and I'd almost want to highlight that again, is yes, you need to plan for all of the different activities that you're doing, but planning in 30 minutes in your day to even just go for a walk, but 30 minutes in your day to do something that is 100% for yourself. That could be chatting to a friend. It could be sitting down and listening to your favorite music. It could be sitting down and reading a book for 30 minutes on your own. Something that you really want to do that is going to just give you a chance to, I don't know, just relax. And sometimes that means saying no to something else. So it might be saying no to hanging out with your friends. It might be saying no to jumping onto that online computer game. I sound so old when I say it like that. Online computer game that you promise someone you play, or just taking a step back and being kind of, you know, just really nice to yourself and being like, what do I want to do right now? Maybe I want to take the dog out for a walk. Maybe I just want to lie on my bed and do nothing. And that's totally okay as well. Just as Ryan said a little while ago, just try not to make that be your whole day, because sometimes that can be almost counterproductive. So it could be that, you know, spending a little bit of time alone, giving yourself some downtime can be really good. But if you find that that's the only thing you're doing, then maybe that's when you can start planning a few more kind of fun activities for you to do. So find what works for you though, because that's the other thing. I really enjoyed sport when I was growing up. That doesn't mean that everyone's going to enjoy sport. Obviously Ryan enjoyed sport growing up. So that's why he is where he is now. But not everyone is going to be into sport. That's okay. If you are into computer games and you want to spend 30 minutes a day playing computer games, that's awesome. If you're really into drawing and you want to draw for 30 minutes, that's also awesome. If you want to sing, if you want to dance, if you want to make origami cranes, I don't know, anything that you want. Like, that's something else that I think a lot of young people have this misconception of, that if it's not cool or if it's not deemed popular, then they shouldn't be doing it. If you find something that brings you joy, then that is absolutely something you should try and plan into your day. Or even just if you can't do it on a daily basis, on a weekly basis, try and do something like that. Jigsaw puzzles, it could be Sudoku, it could be, I don't know, anything. I don't have, like, the list of hobbies is endless really, isn't it? So anything you can find. But yeah, so I think they're the things just to remember. We've had a really tough couple of years. You don't have to be perfect at everything. And, you know, the stress that you are feeling, it can be caused by trying to put those too high of an expectation on yourself to be perfect at everything, trying really hard not to make mistakes all the time. But those mistakes are really important for the whole learning process. So I wouldn't say, you know, just go and fly out into the wind and or throw caution to the wind all the time. But it is just something to remember that we are all going to make mistakes, and it's totally okay to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. It's and I suppose, Ryan, from your perspective, you know, what would you kind of see that would have been the biggest challenges? You know, how would you have gone about when you were in secondary school, like, you know, dealing with these, with the benefit of hindsight, you know, dealing with the stresses and the struggles?
How did I, or how would I?
How would you?
How would I? I'd speak to the closest person I have. I'd speak to my mom. You know, to me, like, my mom, like, oh, I'm mommy's boy. So I'd speak to my my mom. You know, as a kid, you can always think, oh, my mom and dad now, you know, they're adults, but like they've been through the exact same situation, most likely. They were kids once. Well, it's different times, and as Hannah says, it's online video games, which it's different now. But it's still the same. They still have the same knowledge, same learnings. And yeah, I'd speak to my mom or my dad, or if unfortunately they're not around, I'd speak to the closest person you have. Because they care so much about you, so much more than you realize. And all they want is the best for you. So if they can help, which they will, even just speaking to someone can even rationalize it in your own head. So find someone close to you, open yourself up, and don't be a closed book, because that can be pretty bad. And we've all felt it when we don't say it, and it just gets worse and worse. So find someone you know, you love, and you trust, and just let them know what's up.
And I would even say, just on the back of that, I think that's such a great message, especially for young people today, that, you know, there is someone out there who will more than happily listen to what you have to say. And there's someone out there who's not going to judge you. And there are people out there who are not going to try and fix it for you. There are lots of people that you can turn to. And, you know, whether it's your mum, whether it's your dad, whether it's an aunt or an uncle, an older sibling, it could even be a teacher, or like Ryan said before, a coach, or, you know, if you do other activities, like, you know, your music teacher, or your, you know, I don't know, anyone. But there will be someone out there who will be able to listen to you. So don't be afraid to speak out. I'll also just drop in, because I think it's such a useful resource to have. Obviously, Tackle Your Feelings has all of this information available. And it has lots of suggestions of who you can speak to. But I think for young people, there is a phone line, a text line, and the number is 50808. And if you text the word help to that text line, you'll be able to talk to a counsellor anytime, 24/7, who, and again, from a different generation, but I do understand and appreciate that texting can be a lot easier than speaking. So if anyone who is listening to this doesn't feel that they have that person in their life that they feel they can talk to, there are other supports out there that they can absolutely tap into. And Ryan mentioned it before as well, and is that sometimes your friends can help you. So if you are really struggling and you have a best friend, have a chat with your best friend. Not in the expectation that that best friend is going to be able to, you know, help you, but they might have an idea of, maybe there's a teacher in your school that they know that you could speak to, or they have someone who they are like, I actually spoke to this person before and they really helped me out. So sometimes it can be nice to speak to your friends as well, because again, it can be very intimidating to kind of go up to an adult sometimes, because we do have that perception that, as Ryan was saying there, that like, they're adults, what would they know about my problems? So, and on the flip side of that, if I may continue, is that if you are the person who a friend speaks to you that they're not doing okay, then you don't have to solve their problem for them. Do not feel that you are the one who has to fix it, because that's a lot of responsibility and it's not your responsibility to take on. But maybe that is when you can go to your favorite teacher in the school, or someone who you know is on the wellbeing officer, or your guidance counselor, or even the person who is organizing the BT Young Scientists for you in the school, who understands the pressures that this competition can bring to people. And maybe the both of you can go together, because offering that support can be really beneficial. Because like we kind of mentioned before, sometimes when we are really, really stressed out and we are thinking about it and we're like, I'm the only one who's experiencing this right now. Everyone else is able to manage the stress of school and the stress of entering this competition and trying to get good grades and trying to get hang out with all of their friends and do all of this, that and the other. And chances are there are lots of people who have either been through it or might even be experiencing something similar. So don't be afraid to just kind of speak to those people that you trust, and or be the trusted person and kind of say, look, together we can figure this out. Together, I know someone who might be able to talk to you.
Yeah, absolutely. Some fantastic solid points there. Final question, Hannah, going strictly head first into the Young Scientist mode now. As a judge for the BT Young Scientists and Technology Exhibition, mm-hmm. what are the main things that you recommend participants, you know, do in preparation or look out for the judges' interviews?
Well, look, I would say this, and I'm going to steal directly from something that I've definitely heard Ryan say before, and some of his teammates have said before as well. You've put in the hard work already. Trust the fact that you've put the hard work in. You know your project inside out. We want to know more about it. So let us know what you know, if that makes sense. You did however many hours of research you've put together, your presentation, you've put together your board. Just in a way, enjoy the process. So you've put the prep in, you've put the hard work in. This is the time to show it off. This is the time to have fun with it. People are going to ask you questions. If you're not 100% sure of the answer, that's okay. You can say, look, I'm not 100% sure, but it's a really interesting question and we're going to try and find that out. And the judges who are going to be asking you about your projects are not trying to catch you out on anything. They are just really keen to have you, like I said, show off all of the knowledge that you have already acquired for the project that you're in. So don't be afraid to say, I don't understand that, or can you ask me that question in a different way, or anything like that. Have fun. That is the most important thing. Jack, you'll have the most experience out of this, but going up to the BT Young Scientists exhibition and awards, have fun with it. Don't worry about things that, what I always say, and again, a big thing that I know Ryan has spoken about before, is control the controllables. You can't change something that's already happened. You can't necessarily influence that something is about to happen. All you can do is just control the here and now. So have fun with the questions, have fun meeting lots of different people. Trust the fact that you've put all the hard work in already, and take it as an opportunity to show off all of your knowledge and show off all of the hard work that you've done, because it's really, really impressive at the end of the day.
When it comes to the Tackle Your Feelings campaign, if students want to learn more about the overall campaign, how they can get involved and, you know, learn some of those key insights that you've developed, how can they go about doing that?
Well, we have some social media channels that I would 100% encourage people to follow if they can. We're on Instagram at TYF, and we're also on Twitter at TYF Ireland. We are aiming to get onto TikTok. So give us a chance, because like I said, we're a bit older than you guys, so we're trying our best. So that should be coming soon. So keep an eye out for us there. And then if you want to see, we have loads of resources, we've loads of information, and we actually have loads of videos from all of our ambassadors, Ryan included, and a lot of his teammates and fellow rugby players from around the country. If you want to go on to tackleyourfeelings.com, you'll be able to find all of those videos. You'll even be able to, if any teachers are listening to this, as well as their students, or any students want to go back to their teachers and let them know about it, you can sign your school up to the school's program, where it's a full 8-lesson program that brings you through, introduces you to a lot of the skills that we've spoken about that Ryan practices on a daily basis through the school's program. It's a teacher-led, classroom-based schools program, completely free to run. And you can sign your school up at tackleyourfeelings.com as well. So we would appreciate any support through follows and hits and clicks and all of those important things.
Absolutely. So brilliant insights across mental health, life, and all things BT Young Scientists and Technology Exhibition. Hannah and Ryan, thank you so much for your time.
powerful but very enlightening stuff there from Hannah, Ryan, and of course Jack O'Connor, our interviewer for this week's episode. Hopefully you have gotten something out of that conversation, and I think it's always good to talk and don't let things bottle up too much. Anyway, that's it for this episode of STEM Inspirations. Of course, we're building up to the BT Young Scientists and Technology Exhibition, which will take place in early January in the RDS. And remember, you can get your tickets now for that over on the btyoungscientist.com website. And if you want to keep up to date all that's happening on BT Young Scientists, please do follow us on the socials at BTYSTE for all that goodness. So till the next time, folks, mind yourselves out there and stay curious.